Good morning, church. Hey, welcome. Man, that is both services. Did a really good morning. It's awesome. We're two for two. My name is Jeffrey. I'm one of the pastors on the team, and I am honored and excited to get to jump in and share a word that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart for us. It's already been a good week because we've seen the miraculous, right? The Cowboys didn't disappoint us on Thanksgiving. I woke up from my nap and saw the score. I was like, man, this is... I don't even know what to feel right now. I guess I should feel thankful. And so it was awesome. And, you know, we had the Thanksgiving like everyone did. My favorite food on the entire planet, and this is, you could ask Sarah, she would tell you, is green bean casserole. I adore green bean casserole. I don't like it. I don't think it's good. I love it. It is just a beautiful thing that came down from heaven and landed on this earth, and I get to consume it. I had it on my birthday this year, which is not on Thanksgiving, and then I ate it for breakfast the next morning. So that's how much I like green bean casserole. It is God's creation. And so I'm sure you, like me, made the best choices for what you were going to do with your Thanksgiving, right? You had just the one slice of turkey instead of the 14 slices of turkey. You only ate one of the Sister Schubert's rolls and not the pan of the Sister Schubert's rolls. Whenever you saw the mashed potatoes, you had that little small helping because you were going to control your portions. No, none of us did that, right? You eat your Thanksgiving food, and then you fall into a coma that comes from eating turkey. And then you wake up, and then you eat Thanksgiving food again. What is wrong with us? And then we go to bed after, you know, gluttonizing ourselves. I'm not even sure that's a word, but eating too much food. And then the next morning we wake up, and we go shopping. Why do we do this? That's the worst day to go shopping. Everyone that has ever been born is there at the same time in Target or Walmart, and you bump into them and you all feel gross because you're still like you're oozing gravy out of your skin. It's awful, right? You know what we want the very least on the Friday after Thanksgiving? I mean, bar none. No one wakes up Friday after Thanksgiving and goes, I just want to go to the gym. Right, we've had the whole day where we ate all of our, don't raise your hands yet, just a second. We've had this day where we've eaten all this food. No one wakes up and is like, I'm so excited about going to the gym the Friday after Thanksgiving. Here's the true thing for my life is it doesn't take the Friday after Thanksgiving for me to despise the gym. I hate it every day. At least I'm consistent. Okay, at least I hate it on every single, it's not just Thanksgiving Friday. It's also today and tomorrow and every day for the rest of my life. And yet I go to this stupid place that I hate with all of my heart. Why? A few months ago, I was at the gym, loving life, and the trainer gave me the reason why. He, in the middle of this workout, which I don't know what happened to gyms. Used to, you had like equipment and stuff, and now they went into their backyard and just grabbed heavy things and then threw them out and were like, hey, roll a tire. Like that was, why am I paying you to roll a tire? I can roll my own tire. Okay, that's my gym rant. But we're doing the workout, and he yells out this phrase right here. Well, I clicked the laser. He yelled out, why are you here? His name is Andrew, and he's a drill sergeant. And immediately I thought, I don't know, I hate it here. Everyone stinks. It's sweaty. Tomorrow I'm gonna feel bad. Like the things that I'm doing now are gonna cost me, but not in a good way. Why am I here? I don't know. I hate being here with all of my heart. And then pretty quick after that, I had another thought that hit me. It was like probably the Holy Spirit just thumping my little butt. And he goes, why am I here? I just don't want to die young. Like I don't have a ton of control over things that go on around me, but health is the thing that I can control a little bit of. And the answer to the question, why was I here at the gym? I just don't want to die young. I'm not looking for like the body, right? Look at me. It's not happening. If it was going to happen, it happened a long time ago. The body went with the hair. They went together. It's just the way things went. I don't look for a six pack. I want a one pack and I'm good. I'm not trying to get a girl. Listen, I got her. She's been around since we were 17 and 16. I don't imagine she's going anywhere at this point. I'm even okay with like the what I wear at the pool or the beach, right? I'm okay that I wear the dad t-shirt. It's fine with me. Doesn't bother me. All of the dads can wear them. We put them on and we say, hey, we're just trying to protect our skin from the sun. No, we're not. We're trying to protect our love handles from the judgment. That's what happens. I'm okay with all of those things, but I just don't want to die young. There are things that I want out of going to the gym. It's not to be sore. It's not to sweat. Those things stink. But, like, there are things that I feel like God's called me to be a part of that I want to see happen. Like, I got two daughters, and sometime 35 years from now or in the future, they're going to walk down the aisle and love somebody more than me, and I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to see, we've talked about a 2030 vision around here for a long time, and I want to see it walked out. Like, I want to see what it looks like when all these church plants that we've been a part of, which is five now, begin to really take off. Like, we got a church plant in Miami, and they started 2 years ago, and this church is already running almost 500 people, which is mind-blowing. But then 2 weeks ago, they baptized 26 people on a Sunday morning, a church plant that's 2 years old. Like, that's amazing. I want to see what it looks like for that to be walked out over time. Like, I just don't want to die young. When I think about the gym, why am I here? That's really what I want to get out of the gym. This question this week has just bothered me. This is not the gym that we're at today, thank God. But, like, this question and here just collided for me this week. Why are we here? Why are we at the North Campus? Why did you join online on your vacation? Like, why are we here? Why are we doing this faith thing? Like, what do we want to get out of this? If we're just doing this because we feel like it's the way that we don't have to have an argument with our spouse, like, that's a lot of times we come to church because it's like it's better than the argument. Or often we do faith things because we feel like it's good for our kids if they grow up in a religious environment, and so we'll kind of be a part of churchy things because we feel like it's good for our kids. You know, I'm fine, but my kids need it. We think that a lot of times. Sometimes we do it because this is Abilene, Texas, right? You go to church. Like, it is just a thing that we do often. The answer to the question, why are many of us here, is one of those things. Throw all of that out of the window. What do you want to get out of this? What do you want to see happen in your life? This is a way different sermon than we've been in over the last 10 weeks when we've talked about freedom. It was awesome. God did cool things. This sermon is a sermon just to be introspective. I'm going to ask you to look at you in the mirror and ask yourself the question, really, why are you here? What do you want to see out of faith? See, I have a lot of different things I could do on a Sunday morning than this. This is a Sunday in November. That is the height of deer season. Last year, I shot my first buck, and he needs a buddy on the wall. You know what I could be doing right now? Hunting. I could be sleeping. I love sleep. It's awesome. I can always use more of that. I could be doing lots of things on a Sunday morning. Like, it's cold outside right now, and coffee under a blanket looking out at the cold is one of the most perfectly heavenly things I've ever seen. There are tons of things I could do tomorrow and the rest of the week. Okay. My life group meets every Sunday at 5 o'clock. You know what's still happening at 5 o'clock on Sunday? The football game that started at 3. I've never known how the end of a 3 o'clock football game ends. Wednesdays, when our re-engage group meets, when our re-engage groups meet, those could happen. Like, I could be doing work then. Like, there are lots of things I could be doing instead of choosing to do the faith thing. And yet, here I sit and I think about this verse that we've talked about so many times at Bellway. And it's this. It's the words of Jesus. And he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Listen, if you're listening to my voice, you have life. You have breath coming out of your lungs. You have life. We have life. That is what we get to be a part of. You know what we often don't have? The abundant peace. And here's the reality. Jesus didn't come down from heaven, live the life on this earth, go to the cross so that I could just sustain life, so that I could live and breathe till tomorrow. His sacrifice was not that cheap. He said, I came that they might have life, and that wasn't the period at the end of the sentence. He says, I came that they may have abundant life. What do we want out of this? What do I want out of this? I want that word. I don't want just life. I'm trying to live longer when I go to the gym. This thing, I want to see God's abundance. I want to see him move in incredible ways. Like, I love my life, but I don't want to settle for just life. I unashamedly want his abundance. He said he came that we might have abundance. I want to see what it might look like to walk in abundance in every single way, in my relationships, in my finances, in my time. I want his abundance. And Jesus says, it comes through him. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And all of us want that. We all want the blessing. We want reward. We want abundance. And yet so frequently in our lives, we don't see that as the end result. So frequently, we do feel like it's just life sustenance, not life abundance. And the question is why? And I believe it's tied to a story that Jesus tells in the book of Mark, chapter 4. So if you will, if you'll grab a Bible, we're going to camp out in this passage today. So there's one around you if you're at our physical campuses. There's also one online right there on the screen for you. Mark chapter 4 is our text, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this passage. So it is a part of, Mark is a part of what we call the Synoptic Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the first three books in the New Testament. They are three guys, different perspectives of many of the same stories. They kind of coincide with one another. So this is a parable, a story that Jesus tells in Mark 4. You also see it in Luke 8. You also see it in Matthew 13, the exact same one. And so this has nothing to do with my sermon, but we're getting to the new year. Like 2024 happens in 5 weeks. And often at that time of year, we set some goals, like we want to go to the gym more. And then we also want to read our Bible more. That's often a goal that we set. Here's the encouragement for you that'll make it the easiest for you if you've never done that. Find a chronological Bible reading plan and start in the New Testament. Because what you're going to do is you're going to hear Matthew tell this really cool story, and then you're going to hear Mark's perspective of it, and then you're going to hear Luke's perspective of it. It is a fascinating way to read the Bible. And so this story is told in all of those different books of the Bible. And they're told like similarly but a little different because we all see things a little differently. This is what Mark had to say. He said, and he, is Jesus, was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil and immediately sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil, produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 100-fold, and 60-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. Let me translate this from Jesus' times to ours. Just listen. He who has ears, let them hear. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus is imploring them and us to pay attention to this parable. And he goes on to break it down for us. And he explains to us what he's trying to get us to understand. And he says, the sower sows the word. And there are those along the path. There are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In the scheme of like understanding stories, this is not that complicated, a parable that Jesus tells. And then he goes on to fully explain it to us. And yet it is within this parable, it is within this truth right here that holds the key to the question, why are we here? What do we want to get out of this? It is found in the midst of this parable. So we're going to go piece by piece through it. It starts out with the sower sowing the seed. The seed is sown by the sower. Just so we make sure we all get it, the sower is sowing the seed. That's what Mark 4:14 says. You're like, I get it. You're hammering this a little bit. For whatever reason, I've grown up in the church. I've probably heard this story dozens of times. For whatever reason, this week, it hit me really different. Because I thought, why did the Father sow seed on ground that was not ready for that seed? Why would he sow seed along the path? Why was there seed tossed in rocky grounds or in thorny areas? Like, why not put all the seed only in the good soil? And for whatever reason, that stuck out to me this week, and it's because of this. Because that is the irrational nature of the love of the Father for you. It does not matter today how you came into this place, what the soil of your heart is like, if you are along the path, if you're the rocky ground, thorny ground, or if you're good soil, it doesn't matter. He loves each and every one of us so much that he still sows the seed even when we're not in a place to receive it. That is an irrational, inexplicable love of the Father. And that seed that's sown is truth. Not a truth. We live in a world where truth is a piñata, right? You hit the truth, piñata, and then it flies around and nobody knows what truth is for a while. And then it comes back around and we're like, okay, maybe this is truth. Then it goes the other direction. It's a moving target for us. This is not. This seed is his truth. It is the truth of the destiny that God has on your life. It is the truth on the calling that God has on your life. It is the truth on his love for you that is more than you can understand. It is his truth on your destiny. It is his truth on your blessing. It is his truth. The seed that is sown in this parable is the truth of the word of God. And it's distributed in a million different ways. Sometimes it's you reading your word. Sometimes it's somebody that's preaching. Sometimes it's a podcast or a conversation or a book. That truth can be sown in a million ways, but when you distill it all the way down to what is it, it is the sole truth of the Father. That's the seed that's being sown in this parable. And that seed holds the key to abundant life. It just depends on where it lands. And what Jesus says in this parable is that we are all one of these four soils. Say, I am. You are. You didn't have to say you are, but good job, everybody. We're praying red light, green light. I am one of these four soils. And then sometimes it changes. Sometimes I'm one, sometimes I'm another. We each are one of these four soils. I told you we were going to be introspective. This is the challenge for you over the next few moments. Don't try to figure out what soil your spouse is. Don't. Let the Holy Spirit do that for them. Don't try to figure out what soil your kids are. You just think about what God is speaking to you about you. Because we're going to walk through the description and kind of some explanations of each of these four soils. And hopefully one of them will ring a bell to you. So the first one that Jesus talked about is the along the path ground. This person is generally good with sermons as long as they are motivational talks. We want Coach Prime preaching, right? We want like just let's talk about good things and joy and peace and happiness. Like, and this is a motivational talk sermon, so there are times for those. But then if our heart is in the along the path kind of area, you start talking about money, I'm out. Time. Commitment more than just that hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday. We start to talk about anything that is deeper than that, and the person that's heart is along the path is like, I don't want anything to do with this. This person is generally pretty good with checking the church box. We come to church so that we can say we went to church. Maybe it's because of our spouse or kids. Maybe it's because we feel like a religious obligation to it, but this person is often just fine with checking the church box, but they are not interested in taking any steps of faith. When our heart is in the along the path part of this story, somebody says, like, read your Bible, and you're like, that book is old, and it is a great coaster, but I don't want it to take any further steps than that. When we are in this part, and that's kind of where our souls are at, and there's like a, hey, get involved in community, we need it, we're like, listen, I got enough stuff pulling at me, I can't take any further steps. This person is generally not interested in taking any steps of faith. And so what happens is you'll hear a sermon or have a conversation. This seed of the truth of God's word that holds abundant life will be deposited in you. But then, as soon as we walk away, it's gone. I don't have any more time for it. I don't have any more cares to give. So that's the first person. The second is the one that their soil is rocky ground. Jesus says that this person has the seed. They receive the seed. They hear the word. And they're initially excited about things of faith. I call this the youth camp high one. If anyone grew up in the church, you go to youth camp, you come back with your youth camp girlfriend, of course. And you got stories to tell about how God moved in these incredible ways. And then you come back And then we just kind of go back to life. And it's funny to laugh at that from the youth standpoint, because that I was a youth pastor a long time. I watched it happen time and time again. We still don't grow out of the youth camp high. We just do it in different ways. So we go to boot camp, and I love boot camp. It is an incredible, incredible movement of God. We go to boot camp, we get excited, and we hear these talks about how God's created me as a man and what he's called me to, and we're pumped, and we're ready to go after the world. We go to Released, and we hear all about what it should be like as a woman of God, or maybe a walk to Emmaus. We go to these spiritual events, and we get excited. We come home, and you're like, you know what? Somebody give me a water pistol. I'm going after hell. Let's go. We make the commitment to God and our spouse that we will read 17 chapters of the King James Version every day. We're going to do the things necessary. And so what happens with this person is generally we experience growth. You know why? Because reading scripture helps us grow. Because doing the things that God calls us to do, it does help us grow. That excitement that we come back from those spiritual events, they often point us in a correct direction, and it immediately begins to show growth, but we aren't rooted enough to withstand the heat of life. So we get excited, but we don't get any deep roots, and then life happens, and then we burn up. And so often, when our hearts are rocky ground, we chase after spiritual experience to spiritual experience. So we go to boot camp, we get fired up, we come home, we're a better husband, we're a better dad, we're a better everything. And then, like 3 weeks later, we're Googling on Beltway going, hey, when is the next boot camp? Because we don't know how to sustain anything further than that. We go from spiritual experience to spiritual experience, and we drown in the middle. The next one is the person that's ground is thorns. The seed falls, and then it gets choked out. This person hears the word, like all the other ones, and then they grow. Jesus doesn't specifically say they grow, but I think I said specifically, which is an ocean, so specifically, specifically say they grow, but if the thorns are going to choke it out, they're choking out a growing plant. But then this person becomes overcome by convenience and worries of the day. This week when I was reading this parable and I got to the thorny one, I was like, I don't like that, Jesus. Because it is easy for the soil of my heart to get pretty thorny pretty quick. I'll come to church and I love our church. I love what God's doing. And David will preach this tremendous sermon because he's a tremendous preacher, great leader, and my boss. Like, I'll hear this great sermon. God will move in my heart. Worship will be powerful. I'll just be walking out of this place like, God, you're so good. You're so strong. You got everything in control. And then I'll get in my car, and I'll start leaving the South Campus, which could take 45 minutes to 3 hours, depending on the day. And before I can hit the road, all that I was just thinking and sitting in about the goodness of God and his power is pushed aside because I'm just thinking about life. And this person that I can often be. We get excited about things and we grow, but then life starts to kick in. And we think, in theory, I would love to grow. But you know, life happens. And it's easy at this point in time to just do the church thing. Convenience is one of the greatest enemies to growth. When I look at the state of the church in America, not just like our church, but the Big C church, when I look at the church, it is convenient that is hindering us so often from walking in the abundance that God has for us because it's just so easy. I don't desperately need him for my finances because I can just kind of think I make it on my own. I don't need him for relationships because I can do it on my own. And we have this, I can do it on my own mentality. And because of that, we lean into the convenience of life and we miss out on the abundance of Christ. And it's so easy for us to do that. It is so easy for me to look up after a season and go, God, my life is full of thorns. Thankfully, it didn't end there, and Jesus started talking about what it looked like to be good soil. This person hears the word, just like the first three. The difference is what happens when that word is sown in their heart. They grow deep roots. So here's the person that has good soil. And all the other ones experience many of the same things. It doesn't mean that when my soil is good and God is moving in abundance in my life, it doesn't mean that then every single thing is going to be easy. It means that sometimes things are going to still be difficult. Relationships are going to be difficult. Finances are going to be difficult. Things can still be difficult. The difference is when we have good soil, we give our hearts a chance to have deep roots so that then when the finances go haywire, I'm not burnt up in the chaos. And when the relationships get difficult, my roots are deep enough to know that he is still moving and he is still God. This person then grows a miraculous harvest. Jesus said that the seed that's sown yields 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, I'll be honest with you. I am not a farmer. I don't think they let farmers wear skinny jeans. That's somewhere in the Bible. I had no concept what a good yield for a harvest would be. So I went to the Google, because everything's correct on the internet. And a good harvest was like eightfold. And Jesus says, when the seed of his truth falls on good soil, it yields 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. You want to know what that kind of sounds like? Abundance. That Jesus talked about coming for us to have, that sounds pretty similar to what we're talking about of what do we want to see out of this. It's abundance, and I want the 30, 60, 100-fold harvest. I want to see that happen in my wife's life and in my kids' life. I want to see it happen for you so desperately. Like, I want us to walk in the harvest that God has for us. And according to the words of Jesus, oh, I skipped that first service too, I'm sorry. Good soil yields a miraculous harvest. Good soil can't produce a harvest without seed. I wish I could tell you that you can do all the work you want in your life and you could yield a harvest on your own. But that good soil is just soil until God plants the seed of truth in it. It's just soil. It can be great soil. It could be the best soil you've ever imagined. But until the seed of his truth is planted into it, we will never see the miraculous harvest that he promises in his coming to this earth. It only happens through Jesus. I cannot control the harvest. What I can control is the soil. And so today, each of us, I want us to do, and this is corny, so just lean into it with me. We're going to do a soil sample. We're going to look at our lives, and we're going to go, God, I want to see which one I am. If each of us is one of them, I want to know which one I am, because I want the abundant harvest that's found in Jesus and in the good soil. And the way I see in Scripture for us to evaluate where our hearts are at and where our souls are at is found in Matthew. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now, when Matthew's talking about this, he's talking about recognizing false teachers. The principle is the same. We can see what's going on in here if we look at what happens outside of here. We can see what is happening in our lives, what's happening in our souls based on the fruit we're producing in our life, because that fruit of a life filled with the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit. So what do? We test our fruit. Am I growing in love? Is patience being produced more and more in my life? Is gentleness or self-control, is that something that is coming out in abundance? Is it coming out just more? Am I growing in it? That does not mean that you're always going to be patient. Trust me, we live in a broken world filled with broken humans. Sometimes kids can push that limit. Sometimes our spouses. There's going to be times that we're not going to be fully patient. The question is not, are you perfect at it? There is one perfect person in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It is the Father. It's Jesus. It is only God that can walk it out in perfection. But am I growing in it? As I look at my life, are these areas that I'm growing? If not, then probably I got a soil problem. And we don't control the harvest, but we have a responsibility to tend to the soil. I don't have a garden or anything in my life. I'm not sure I have the patience for that, which maybe I need to grow in. But I do have a yard, and right now my yard looks horrendous. It has weeds. It needs to be mowed. The one my wife reminds me about all the time, it has stickers. And we see that because we have golden doodles. So our house has stickers. And then our clothes have stickers, and every blanket we own has stickers. I live in a valley of stickers. And my yard looks as bad as it does because I haven't taken any time to cultivate a good yard. It's not been a priority. I haven't spent the time in it, the money in it. I haven't cultivated, I haven't worked on this yard so that it could look good. The soil of our hearts will not magically become good soil. We won't rid out the thorns and the rocky parts. We won't be along the path. Like, we will not do anything to become good, or we cannot become good soil just by hoping that we become good soil. It's something that's just going to be worked on and cultivated. It's going to take time. Yeah, I become good soil when I stay connected to the body of Christ. That's going to take time. If we want to pull back the curtain on the reality of life sometimes, I had something happen last night, messed up my heart and my mind. I came into this place in a funky spot this morning, probably funkier than I've ever been when I got up here to preach. And I'm walking around in the back, and the band is worshiping. They're getting ready to lead us. And I began to feel what happens when we stay connected to the body of Christ. I began to feel the presence of the Lord. I began to feel his peace and his confidence that he was moving. And then we got into service, and everyone starts to come in, and people begin to worship. And I could begin to feel the soil of my heart get better because I was connected to the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that we become super religious about it and it must be a checklist that we follow every week. It means that just we want to be connected to the body. We grow best where we're connected. That is the way we were each created. And if we want to tend and cultivate the soil of our heart, it will not happen outside of the body of Christ. Maybe you can do it online. We've got online groups. We've got lots of online stuff that happens there. Maybe it's one of our physical campuses. I can just tell you, good soil doesn't happen outside of this body. It doesn't. So here's my challenge for you. Next week, we kick off a new series. We're doing Christmas at the Movies, which is going to be very fun. Come for the next 4 weeks. See what God has to teach us. Invite people. We have good soil because we stay connected to the body. I become good soil when I step out in faith. For some of us, the Lord is calling us to take a step maybe in our finances. Or maybe for others of us, it might be more difficult to go, the step is to go serve in kids ministry. You're like, I'll give money, don't make me hold a baby. That step might be in the spring, jumping into a life group. We're all called to steps of faith, and we cultivate good soil in our hearts when we take steps of faith. Because then we give God the chance to show up and show off. That's who he is. So when we take that step of faith in our finances and we see that we can actually live greater off 90% than 100% because of the tithe, like, we see God show off. And you know what? Our soil is cultivated. When we take the step of faith to serve or to jump in a life group and we begin to see God show up and show off, it helps cultivate the soil of our heart. I become good soil when I spend regular time in worship. Something happens when we worship. Because what we're doing in worship is we're declaring the greatness and the power and the wonder and the majesty and the strength and the kindness and the peace of our God. And we just declare that. You know what's really hard to do? It's really hard to look at the junk that's going on in my life while simultaneously declaring the power of my God. It's really difficult to go, God, I'm not sure how I'm going to go through this. And we're going, God, you're holding everything in your hands anyway. Worship shifts our soil so that we are positioning ourselves to receive what he has because we're reminding ourselves who our God is. So maybe for you, when you get in the car and you're finding that distraction or the comfort of the world begin to pull your brain around away from what he's doing in you, you could just pick up the phone and press play on Spotify and declare his greatness. Some of the greatest worship experiences I've ever had with God happened outside of a church setting. But like when I was on a walk in my neighborhood and my mind was racing, so I threw in my AirPods and I just went on a walk and just worshiped. Worship helps tend the soil of our hearts. And what's incredible, if we'll do the work to tend the soil of our hearts and then we let God do what he does and produce a miraculous harvest, what happens is that infects the people around us. It's like a redwood tree. So these trees are in California because that's the best place for their soil. And these trees will grow to be like 300 feet and 30 feet wide, which breaks my brain to try to understand. These trees grow that big because they have these deep roots that'll go like 100 feet into the ground. But you know what else happens? They grow sideways, like this. And they begin to intertwine with one another. And their roots will grow deeper side to side than they will deep. They'll grow deep, then they'll go further side to side. And what happens is those trees grow the way that they do because they work together to have the deepest, most effective root system they could have. Listen, if we will do the work to produce good soil in our own life, we give the others around us a better chance to find the miraculous harvest that the Lord has for them. I want my kids to have it. You know, my first responsibility for my kids to have good soil is for me to get my act together and have good soil. If I want it for the people in my life group and the men I do life with and my marriage and in here, the first place is I got to get my roots deep and I got to produce good soil, then let God show up. And then when I do that, the people around me's roots get to be stronger. It is this exponential opportunity for growth. When our soil is good, our roots grow deep and they help build up those around us. I don't want selfishly deep roots. I want deep roots found in Him that then help the others around me to grow. Because I unashamedly want what Jesus said He came to this earth for us to have, a life of abundance. I want the 30, 60, 100-foot harvest, 100-fold harvest. That's what I want more than anything. And it's only found in Him. So if you will, if you put your stuff down, we got it. Just a couple of moments I want us to respond. You can bow your heads if you want to. Nothing happens. Magic, it just helps us focus. I told you today we were going to be introspective. Here's your chance to be introspective. Ask the Lord what kind of ground you have in your heart right now. I'll be honest with you. When I did it this week, I found that the soil of my heart had got some rocky places in it. There was areas of my life that was pretty thorny. I need to do some work to cultivate good soil. Maybe you've done the church thing for as long as you can remember because that's just what we do. You recognize that along the path might be a good description of you. Maybe your ground is rocky and you see growth and you find these moments where you experience God. It might not even be boot camp to boot camp. It might be Sunday to Sunday. And you have God, you see God move and then life just burns it up the second you walk away. Maybe the ground of your heart is thorny. And what you've experienced is just life just happens. And maybe your heart is good soil and you're seeing God do the miraculous. I cannot tell you where you are at. I can tell you that when we have good soil in our lives and our souls, that the seed planted by the Father yields a miraculous harvest. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. God, would you give us the boldness this week to really look into our lives? Not just hear a talk and walk away. Would you give us the boldness, Lord, to really ask ourselves, is there good soil in my heart right now? I thank you, Father, that you are the God of the harvest. God, we ask for the harvest. It's your name we pray. Amen.